بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. So we continue our studies of that great and noble narration, the narration of Jibreel عليه السلام, that is narrated by Umar رضي الله عنه, and collected by Imam Muslim في صحيحه رحمه الله تعالى, and that which has preceded with regards to the benefits of this narration and the explanation of the pillars of al-Islam and the pillars of al-Iman was a great benefit. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank him for this opportunity. And after that, we thank those brothers for their efforts, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of them and to make it heavy in their scales. Our discussion today, my noble brothers and sisters, is with regards to Al-Ihsan. And it has proceeded that Ad-Din laysa martabatan wahida, that the religion is not one level or one rank. And based upon that, likewise, the followers of this religion, the believers, the Muslims, they also are not one level and one rank with regards to their application of that religion and their application of the deen. But rather, we have seen that al-Islam thalathu muratib, that the deen of al-Islam, it is three levels. It is three levels and three stages, and each one is higher and loftier than the one before it. And that is the level of al-Islam. And after that, the level or the stage of al-Iman, and the highest rank in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is the level of al-Ihsan. So the levels of the religion and the ranks of the deen, they are different, and some are higher than the others. And likewise, the followers of this deen, meaning the Muslims, some of them are higher and loftier in rank than others, and their knowledge is more solid and firm, and their application is more better and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than others from this deen. But all of them are Muslims, and all of them are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-mu'minul qawi khayrun wa ahabu ilallahi min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr. That the strong believer, he is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, but all of them are good. But all of them are good. So we have seen likewise the clarification of the pillars of al-Islam, and likewise the clarification of the pillars of al-Iman. And we know that a pillar is the strongest side of something. Al-Ruknu, yani in the Arabic language or linguistically, Al-Ruknu janibu shay al-Aqwa. It is the strongest side of something that, for example, the structure is based upon. A structure cannot stand and cannot be erected and cannot be established except with pillars and foundations. And likewise, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know that famous narration of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. That the religion of al-Islam is based upon five. It is built upon five. It is structured and standing upon five. It is erected upon five. And then he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam those same five pillars that are mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam that we are studying. But in this narration, there is an extra benefit, and that is the example that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made with al-Islam. He resembled it to a building or a structure or to a home. And just as a home cannot be established, and it cannot be erected, and it cannot be upright, and it cannot be beneficial for those who reside therein, except with a foundation and fundamentals, and except with pillars, then likewise the deen of al-Islam, it cannot be established, and it cannot be erected, and it will not withstand, and it will not stand, and it will not be upright, and it will not be beneficial for a person until he establishes those pillars. But the point that we make here, and it's a very important point and very beneficial for a believer to recognize and realize and to contemplate upon, and that is that a building, although it is based upon and stand and erected upon its pillars, it is not complete with only the pillars. Rather, those who build a building and a structure and a home, they will establish the foundation and the pillars, and then they will complete that building by putting the walls and the roof and putting in the floor and the carpet and the likes like this until the person inside the building, he can be safe from the environment outside. So just like a building, if someone were to build a home and he only put the foundation and the pillars and he left it like that, it would not save him from the weather outside, nor from the rain, or nor from the wind, or nor from the cold, or nor from the heat. And it would not be beneficial, and nobody would call that a house. And nobody would call that a building. It's only the structure. It's only the structure. So likewise, barakallahu fikum, hadhi al-arkan, arkan al-Islam, al-khamsa, hiya arkan al-Islam, wa laysat hiya kull al-Islam. That these are the pillars and foundations and fundamentals of al-Islam, but they're not all of al-Islam. But they are not all of al-Islam. Rather, by establishing these pillars properly in a manner required, and having the amount of iman, the amount of faith that will correct his Islam, and that he will enter into the fold of Islam by way of that, now he becomes a Muslim. Now he becomes a Muslim, and he has the promise of the Muslims. And what is incumbent upon him is what is incumbent upon the Muslims. And he now has other obligations that he must fulfill. He has other obligations that he must fulfill. So a person, he can enter into the fold of Islam, but after that, he has to fulfill the requirements and the obligations of faith. And he has to complete his faith by complying to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions until he has completed his faith, and he has fulfilled the requirements of his deen, until his Islam will be strong for him, until his Islam will be beneficial for him, until he will be protected and safe from the anger of Allah, and the punishment of Allah, and the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to bring those pillars first and foremost, and that's the foundation. And after that, there are other obligations that he must fulfill in order to truly be a good Muslim, and in order to truly have the correct faith and the good deen that is required and the religion that is obligatory. After entering into the fold, a believer, he has to start learning. He has to begin learning to complete his faith. So a house, you build it with a foundation with pillars. And after that, you don't leave the pillars there. Rather, they will decorate the pillars around the pillars. Maybe the pillars are iron, steel, strong, sturdy, stable. But they don't leave them like that. Around them, they will build a decoration from wood or from bricks and the likes like that. And then they will paint it and they will put decorations so the pillar looks beautiful. They will not leave it like that, just a plain pillar, but rather it will be decorated. And then the house will have walls and will have windows. And then it will have a door and the likes like this. And it will have a roof on top and it will have insulation. And it will be a means of protection. And at that time, it will be considered a home and a house. And it will be beneficial for the one who stays inside. Likewise, barakallahu fikum al-Islam as well. You establish the pillars. After that, there are obligations that you must complete, that you must complete and you must fulfill in order for the religion to be correct and good, in order for the religion to be correct and good and truly beneficial and strong for you. Like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Al-Muslim, meaning the true Muslim, the one who has the good faith and the good deen, the one who has fulfilled the rights of al-Islam, and the rights of that iman, he is the one who the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. So therefore, from the completion and the perfection of the deen, is that a believer, after establishing those pillars and the salat and likes like that, before that, the shahadatain, of course, after that, he will guard his tongue and he will protect his tongue. And if he did not do that, then this will bring weakness to his faith and to his deen, and his religion will be deficient. And he will be exposed to the anger and the threat of Allah accordingly. If he were to use his tongue in ghiba and backbiting, or namima and carrying tales, or if he were to lie on the people and the likes like this, all of this, or to make mockery of individuals, all of this is from the foul traits that is contrary to faith and iman, and it brings deficiency to the deen. It's an obligation to protect the tongue from that, and likewise the hands from taking rights of others and from harming others in their body and in their property or wealth or in their blood and the likes like this. Al-Muslim, من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. This is with regards to the tongue and to the hand. Yani, the dealing of a believer, he has to, after entering into the fold of Al-Islam, learn the obligations of Al-Islam and complete them and fulfill them with sincere faith. And likewise, learn the prohibitions that are forbidden in Al-Islam in order to avoid them. In order to avoid them. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he said, لَا يَزْنِي زَانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That a person who commits fornication, he's not a believer at that time while he commits fornication. Meaning, he is not in the fold of Al-Iman, but rather he's a Muslim, but his faith is deficient. His faith is weak, and that's why he fell into that. And likewise, drinking and likewise, stealing. At that time, yani his faith is deficient. And it's an obligation to leave off those things. من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, from the good Islam of a person is that he leaves off that which does not concern him. And no doubt, that which is impermissible and not allowed, and that which is forbidden in the deen of Allah, it does not concern any believer. So therefore, to fall into the actions of disobedience and the affairs that are impermissible, and to fall short in performing the obligations, this does not concern a believer. And the one who falls into that, then his Islam is deficient. Because from the good Islam is that one, he will not do that. So the one who does that, he has bad Islam. He has Islam, but his Islam is not good. Rather, his Islam is deficient. Rather, his Islam is deficient. And likewise, with regards to the affairs of the heart as well. Barakallahu fikum. There are obligations. There are obligations of faith before the Islam will be complete. And before the faith will be strong and good. And before one can truly be safe from the anger and the punishment of Allah entirely. Bi'ithnihi wa fadlihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer has to control his heart and check his heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. So this is from the obligations of faith and from the obligations of Iman. And that is that a believer, he will love for his brother and he will hope for his brother the good that he hopes for himself. And that likewise he will fear and dislike for his brother that which he fears and dislikes for himself. And he will not want that. And he will never be happy or satisfied at the downfall of a believer. Rather, that will make him sad. And that would upset him because that would upset his own soul. So this is from the completion of faith. And those who laugh at the downfall of the believers or find it a mockery and the likes like this to laugh at the believers when they fall in sin or they become misguided, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they're happy with that. This is from a deficiency in faith. This is from a deficiency and a weakness in their deen. And this is because the Islam, it has to be completed in their obligations. So the point here is that the issue of Islam and the pillars of Al-Islam, that these are the pillars and the foundations and the fundamentals, but after that there are obligations that must be performed. But after that, there are obligations that must be performed before the Islam is complete and good. And here we see that, again, the deen is three levels. The deen is three levels. So by establishing these pillars outwardly and the obligations outwardly of Al-Islam and having the proper faith, the amount of faith which is required for that Islam to be considered and to be correct, a person, he enters into the fold of Al-Islam. And as has proceeded, that's like a big circle. And this is a great circle and a great fold, alhamdulillah. Outside of that circle is nothing but disbelief and kufr. And those who die upon that, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, they have nothing but the anger and the punishment of Allah. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And they will never exit the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But inside the fold of Al-Islam, inside the fold of Al-Islam, they have the promise of the mercy of Allah for those who fulfill the rites of their faith. And for anybody who dies in the fold of Al-Islam, likewise, they have the promise of paradise. And the promise of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the issue now is about the completion of that faith. So those who complete the faith and they fulfill the obligations of Iman by complying to the commandments of Allah and fulfilling that which is obligatory upon them and leaving off the prohibitions entirely, now they have fulfilled their faith and they have entered into the next realm, and that is the level of Al-Iman. And that is the level of Al-Iman. And this is a higher level. And this is another circle inside of the circle. This is a fold inside of the fold of Al-Islam. And those inside of Al-Islam are many. And those inside of Al-Iman are fewer. Are fewer. And they have a higher rank. Those who die while they're in the state of Al-Islam and not fulfilling the obligations of Iman, but they did not do anything to invalidate their deen, they're still Muslims, but they have major sins. They're under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will punish them accordingly to their sins, and they will be purified in the hellfire. And then they will be admitted into paradise by the grace and the mercy of Allah. Or Allah will pardon them entirely and enter them with those who enter with honor and dignity without any recompense, as He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those who fulfill the rites of al-Islam, and they complete their faith, and they fulfill the obligations accordingly, and they leave off the prohibitions entirely, then they have the promise of the mercy of Allah, and they will not enter the fire. And they will not enter the fire, whether they will go into the paradise in the beginning with those who go in with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a great issue to realize. So we have the great fold of Islam, and many enter into that fold, and they're considered Muslims. And then those who complete their faith, they're fewer. They're fewer, and that's another circle inside the fold of that Islam, and they're fewer. And this is a higher level, and a higher rank. To enter into that level, the level of true faith and that Iman, by completing one's Islam, that means he must fulfill the obligations of al-Islam, all of them, to the best of his ability, and leave off the prohibitions entirely. Doing that sincerely, hoping for the reward from Allah alone. Following the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perfecting the obligations inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly, they will travel through the ranks of al-Islam until they reach the level of al-Iman. Until they reach the level of al-Iman. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He referred to whenever some desert Arabs, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, verily we believe. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا. The desert Arabs, they came and they said, verily we believe, meaning we entered into al-Iman. And Allah commanded His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them, قُلْ. And He said to them, O Muhammad, لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. You did not believe yet. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. But rather you should say that we have entered into Islam. Rather, don't say that we have entered into al-Iman. But rather say, وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. That we have surrendered and submission in Islam. And the reason why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified, وَلَمَّا يَدُقُولِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Because Iman has not yet entered into your hearts. Any true sincere faith. So a believer, he enters into the fold. And he's in the state of al-Islam, and he is a Muslim, alhamdulillah. But after that, there are obligations and requirements that must be fulfilled. Actions of the heart, and actions of the tongue, and actions of the body parts that must be performed. Performed properly, with ikhlas and mutaba'ah, with sincerity and the purity of intention, hoping for the reward from Allah alone, and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then likewise, there are prohibitions of the heart as well, and prohibitions of the tongue and the body parts that one must avoid and leave them off entirely until he will enter into the realm of al-Iman. And he will travel up the ranks in his deen by completing the safir. And then after that, fulfilling al-Iman al-Wajib, fulfilling the obligations of his faith, and entering to the realm of al-Iman, now the believers, there is a realm that the people of knowledge, they call it Maidan al-Sibaq. This is the realm of musabaqa and munafisa, of competition and competing for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. After fulfilling the obligations and leaving off the prohibitions entirely, and now there is a realm for the believers to compete and to hasten to the pleasure of Allah. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَسَابِقُوا وَسَارِعُوا to the forgiveness of Allah, to His mercy and to paradise. Hasten all together and compete with one another. وَلِذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And this is what the believers, they compete in and they race for the pleasure of Allah. By performing after that which is obligatory, that which is not obligatory, from the actions of obedience, from the prayer and from the charity and from the fasting and the likes like this, and seeking knowledge and calling and being kind to the creation and the likes like this, competing in the ranks for the levels of mercy and for the levels of goodness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and leaving off after the prohibitions and that which is forbidden, and also leaving off that which is doubtful. Likewise, leaving off that which is disliked, and even leaving off some of the affairs that are permissible out of fear that will lead them to the haram, or lead them to negligence in their religion and the likes like this. And now they have entered into the realm of al-ihsan, into the realm of al-ihsan. So this is the issue here, yani, that the religion is not one level, and the ranks are not one level. And this has been likewise clarified in the deen, and that the true believers, they're the ones who believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and they're the ones who believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they establish the obligations upon them. The obligations with regards to their hearts, and the obligations with regards to their tongues, and the obligations with regards to their body parts, and likewise they avoid the prohibitions entirely. And likewise, they avoid their prohibitions entirely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified and mentioned their traits in many verses, and we just mentioned one of them. And he clarifying the issue of the believers, the true believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَلَا رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal in the beginning that verily the believers, the true believers, are only those that whenever Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. That whenever Allah's name is mentioned, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts tremble from fear. Their hearts tremble from fear. Their hearts are moved by the remembrance of Allah until they fear Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an action of the heart. And this is the trait and attribute of a true believer, one who has completed his faith. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And likewise, whenever the verses of Allah are recited to them, the words of Allah in His Quran are recited to him, and likewise, whenever they ponder over the signs of Allah in the creation as well and how they coincide, and Allah calls in His verses of the Quran to ponder over the signs in His creation, then what do they do? زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Their faith increases. Their faith, it increases. And in this manner, they travel through the ranks of the deen. Their faith, it increases. And وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they put all their trust and faith and reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal. They put all of their trust and faith and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah, He mentioned, and put all your faith and trust and devotion to Allah alone. Rely upon Allah alone if you're truly believers. So the true believers, this is from their traits. Whenever Allah is mentioned, their heart trembles from fear of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this causes them to flee to Him. This causes them to flee to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever they remember Allah and they remember His greatness and His beautiful names and attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fear Him and they flee to Him and they worship Him and they leave off His disobedience. And whenever they recite, His words are recited, they ponder over that and it affects their heart and it goes into their heart until they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they increase in faith. And likewise, they trust and put their reliance upon Allah alone and not upon the creation. This is with regards to the affairs of the heart. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَّهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And there are those likewise who establish the prayer, inwardly and outwardly. They establish the prayer. Now, they don't just pray. They establish the prayer, establishing the conditions and the out requirements by following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the proper time, in the most virtuous places like the masajid with the men standing behind the imam in the prayer for the obligational prayer. They establish the prayer in their hearts. Their hearts are alive during the prayer and they're pondering and thinking deeply and reflecting upon what they are saying and what is being recited. And whenever they bow with humility and humbleness. And whenever they place their head on the ground, they realize that Allah is great and Allah is their Lord and Master, and they bow before Him and their heart bows before Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're not heedless during their prayer. Yuqimuna salat. They're establishing the prayer. And likewise, from the provision that Allah has provided them, they spend. They spend. So they are fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they're fulfilling the rights that Allah has given to His creation. They're fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they're fulfilling the rights that Allah has given to the people by spending upon them. The obligatory spending like the zakat, and the spending on the family, on the wife and on the children. And likewise, the spending that's not obligatory, whether it's a means of charity and an increase in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is their traits. This is their traits. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These people, Allah, He says about them, they're the true believers. They're the true believers, meaning they're the ones who have completed their faith. They're the ones who have fulfilled the obligations of Al-Iman. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inwardly and outwardly, with their heart and with their tongue and with their body parts. They're truthful in their faith. Sadiqun. Ulaika alladhina sadaqu. Wa ulaika humul muttaqun. And these are the ones who are pious and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned in ayat al-birr. Likewise, another verse that clarifies their traits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, lahum darajatun inda rabbihim wa maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. And these people here, what do they have from Allah? They have ranks and levels with Allah. They're not all one level. They have ranks and levels with their Lord. And also they have forgiveness and they have a great and noble provision. A great and noble provision. So this is the case here. To fulfill the rights of Al-Iman, to fulfill the obligations of Al-Islam, and to traverse upon the deen, to traverse upon the straight path and to raise in the ranks of the deen. This is what a believer, he will not enter to Islam and then suffice with ignorance and then have the general guidance to the straight path. But rather after coming to the straight path, may Allah bless you. This is general guidance, alhamdulillah. After that, there's specific guidance on how to traverse upon that path and how to complete one's faith in one's deen and how to be upright and truly a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly, there are other obligations. This is the affair. The one who masters this affair, he will traverse to the levels and then he will become from al-muhsineen. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And this is the issue here, to reach the level of our discussion. And this is what the believers, they desire. And this is the light of their eye, and the apple of their eye, what they hope for, and what they strive for, and what they will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them aid and success to reach and to be from among those people whom He has favored, and whom He loves, and whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in His obedience. Uses in His obedience. So we see that first is the level of al-Islam, and whoever is in this level, he's a Muslim. And then after that, higher than that, after fulfilling the obligations of faith and leaving off the prohibitions entirely, one can travel into the next realm and be a mu'min, a true believer. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. And then after that, fulfilling those obligations likewise and then competing and the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His pleasure likewise, and giving up much of the delights and the desires of the soul to prefer the pleasure of Allah. To prefer the pleasure of Allah, they will compete in this area here, in this realm, and they will be at this time perfecting the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be from al-muhsineen. And be from al-muhsineen. Likewise, these three levels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned them specifically. He has mentioned them specifically in His book, in these three levels of the deen and of the people of the deen. And Allah, He says, ثُمَّ أَرَثْنَا كِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. And then we have caused to inherit the book those whom we have chosen from our slaves, meaning this ummah. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. From amongst them, meaning from amongst this ummah who have inherited the book, yani the Quran, is those who oppress their own souls. Yani with sins that are lesser than shirk and lesser than disbelief, meaning they're only in the realm of Islam. They're Muslims, alhamdulillah. But they have sins with them. They have sins with them and they have not fulfilled the obligations of their faith. They have not fulfilled the obligations of Islam, or they have not left off the prohibitions entirely. He's a Muslim, but he's ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. But he is someone who oppresses his own soul. After that, وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. And from after that, there are those who take a middle course. And they're the one who is a mu'min. He is the one who fulfills the rites of Islam and the obligations of the deen. And he leaves off the prohibitions entirely. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And from amongst them, there are those who hasten to do the good. There are those who hasten and race to do the good. But these people, they are able to hasten to do the good, and not because of their own virtue, but rather because of the virtue of Allah upon them and the grace of Allah upon them. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. By the permission of Allah. And then Allah, He says, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. And this is the great grace and great mercy to be from amongst these people, to be from amongst the ummah of Muhammad. It's a great mercy and grace even to be from amongst those who oppress their own souls. To be a Muslim, alhamdulillah, the greatest of all blessings. And then even higher than that, the blessings become greater and greater as a believer is allowed to submit to Allah. And as a believer is allowed to surrender to the command of Allah. And as a believer is allowed, and Allah gave him permission, and Allah decreed for him before he was even created, that he would be from those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. This is the great grace from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah, He says, جَنَّةُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا. And the gardens of paradise, they will all enter. They will all enter. So the ظَالِم لِنَفْسِهِ, the one who oppresses his own soul, from the Muslims, he will enter paradise. Likewise, the one who takes a middle course, he will enter paradise. And of course, those who hasten to do good deeds by the permission of Allah, he will enter paradise. But not all of them will enter in the same manner, and not all of them will have the same ranks, and not all of them will enter at the same time. This is an issue that must be understood. So we see, the one who is a Muslim, but he does not fulfill the rites of al-Islam, the people have mentioned, and he given this individual terms, and from them they have said, yani he's mu'minun bi imanihi fasiqun bi kabiratihi. The person who is a Muslim but he disobeys his Lord and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by not fulfilling the commandments properly or by falling into the prohibitions, they call him he's a believer with his iman, but he is a wicked sinner with his major sin. Mu'minun bi imanihi fasiqun bi kabiratihi. Also they call him mu'minun ناقصو الإيمان. He's a believer, but he has deficient faith. He's a believer, but he has deficient faith. These are terms the ulama, they have for these type of individuals. Those who come to al-Islam, maybe he's a person of the Sunnah, but he's deficient in his faith. Maybe he knows all about Salafiyyah, but he's deficient in fulfilling the obligations, or he falls and perpetrates and commits the prohibitions. Yes, he's a Muslim, even from Ahl Sunnah, but he's called Fasiqun Milli. Or he's called Mu'minun bi imanihi Fasiqun bi kabiratihi. Or he's called Mu'minun naqisul iman. That he is a believer, but he has deficient faith. Or he is someone who was from Islam, but he's wicked and evil. He's a sinner. Fasiqun Milli. Like this, these are the terms. So a believer, after entering into the fold of Islam, he would want for his Islam to be good. For his Islam to be good, and he would not want to be considered mu'minun naqisul iman. And he would not want to be considered fasiqun milli, waliyadhu billah. Yani he's from the Muslims, but he's corrupt and wicked. La, rather a believer, he will strive to traverse upon the straight path and up the ranks, seeking the pleasure of Allah. And in order to do that, he will seek the aid of Allah. And likewise, he will seek forgiveness for his own soul. He will move according to the legislation. And he will strive to fulfill the rights of al-Iman until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him. And will enter true, sincere faith into his heart. And he will taste the sweetness of faith by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will have success to traverse upon a good way. But it requires effort, my noble brothers and my noble sisters. So the Muslims are many. And those who have entered into the fold of al-Islam are many, alhamdulillah. But those who have entered into the fold of al-Iman, they are fewer. And those who have entered into the realm of al-Ihsan are even fewer and even fewer. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, and He says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورِ. And few of my slaves, they are thankful. And for this reason, Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to make dua. And he used to say, اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْقِلَّةِ. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنْ الْقِلَّةِ. Oh Allah, make me from the few. He was asked about, well, who was that? And he mentioned this verse here. قَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورِ. Very few of my slaves are thankful. Very few of my slaves are thankful. So therefore, a believer, he will realize these affairs. And he will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing him with Islam. And then he will strive to correct his faith and to perfect his faith and to cherish this blessing and to preserve this blessing and to take care of this blessing and to complete it by learning the sunnah and the legal ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning what is obligatory in one day and one night, learning what is impermissible and striving against the soul to fulfill that and to perform that. In this manner, a believer, he can traverse in the ranks of the deen. He can traverse in the ranks of the deen. So we see that the issue of al-ihsan. First we have al-islam, and we've seen that affair. And then al-iman, and likewise we have seen that affair. And now the issue here is al-ihsan. The issue of al-ihsan. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the highest level of the deen. Al-ihsan, a'la maratib al-deen. A'la maratib al-deen. The highest level. The highest rank. And the rank or the level, martaba, al-ihsan. And no one is able to reach this level except first by completing and fulfilling properly the first two levels. He must first fulfill the rites of al-Islam and traverse upon that path until he has completed his faith, al-iman al-wajib, by performing the obligations, all of them, in the best manner, properly and correctly according to the legislation. And then likewise leaving off the prohibitions entirely, hoping for the reward and the promise of Allah and His mercy, and fearing the punishment of Allah and His threat and His anger, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner he will traverse from Islam and then to Iman, and then he can reach after that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, the rank of al-ihsan. And the people of knowledge, likewise, they mentioned that this level here, يعني مرتبة الإحسان, هي عمها من جهة نفسها وأخصها من جهة أصحابها. That this is the most general rank of the deen. The most general and all-inclusive rank of the deen with regards to itself. And with regards to the rank itself, or the level, or the martaba itself, it is more general and all-inclusive. And what that means is that al-ihsan includes the whole deen from every aspect. from every aspect, the obligations and performing the obligations, performing the recommended affairs, yani all of it is included. From every aspect, the affairs of the heart, the affairs of the tongue, the affairs of the body, whether it's obligatory, whether it's recommended or highly recommended, all of the actions of obedience are included there in perfecting it in the best manner, in the best way, inwardly and outwardly, and leaving off all of the prohibitions entirely, and leaving off everything that is doubtful likewise, and leaving off that which is disliked, makruh, and also even included in that is leaving off the mubahat out of fear. Fear of the haram and so on. All of this is included in al-ihsan. All of this is included in al-ihsan. And then they mention, وَأَخَصُّهَا مِنْ جِهَةِ أَصْحَابِهَا. But it's more specific with regards to the people who reach that level. So it's inclusive, meaning including the whole religion, including the application property of the whole deen entirety. This is called ihsan, mastering that affair and perfecting one's worship and perfecting one's dealings likewise with the creation. And those who reach this level, they are fewer compared to those under that. You mean the people of Islam are many, and the people of al-Iman are fewer, and the people of al-Ihsan are fewer and fewer. So we see that al-Ihsan, in the Arabic language, it means al-Itqan wal-Ijada. Al-Itqan wal-Ijada. You say, Ahsana yuhsinu ahsin ihsanin, ahsana amalahu, or ahsana fi amalihi. That he did his action very well. He did excellence. He performed his deed excellently. Or he mastered that. Ay-Atqanahu wa-Ajada fihi. Meaning he did it precisely, and linguistically. This is the linguistic meaning, to do something ala ahsan al-wajh, to perform an action or a statement or a deed in the best manner, in the best way, to master it and to fulfill yani the requirements of that deed in the best manner. This is called al-ihsan. وَضِدُّهُ الْإِسَاءَةِ. ضِدُّهُ الْإِسَاءَةِ. The opposite of al-ihsan is al-isa'ah, yani to do something bad, to do an injustice, or to do something that's not good. So you have ahsana and you have asa'ah. They're opposites. And so somebody who does good, he's called muhsin. And somebody who does bad, he's called musi. So we have somebody, he may be ahsana amalahu, or ahsana fi adai amalihi. And then we have another person, asa'a fi thalika. Some people that do their deeds good, their actions good, yani linguistically, the affairs of the dunya. And others, they do not do them so good, they do them in a bad manner. So the one who does it good is called muhsin. And the one who does not do it good, whether he does it bad, is called musi. It's called musi. So this is the issue here, linguistically. As for in the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this term here, al-ihsan, is used with two different meanings, or to refer to two different affairs. Yani in the deen, in the affairs of the religion. And the first one is al-ihsanu fi mu'amalati al-khalq. Al-ihsan fi mu'amalati al-khalq. And that is to have al-ihsan and to do good in the dealings and the dealings with the people. This is a type of ihsan that is legislated. Wa bil-walidaini ihsan. This is an obligatory type of ihsan with regards to dealing with the people. Being kind and just and nice and good to the parents. And there are other types of ihsan that are also obligatory, and some of them are non-obligatory, any to the people and to mankind. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُوكٍ حَسَنٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, treat the people with good manners. This is from ihsan. This is from al-ihsan with the creation, to make the dealings with the people good, and to deal with them in the best manner. The second affair with regards to the term al-ihsan and how it's used in the legislation or in the text of the Qur'an and the sunnah and in the statements of the people of knowledge, it's with reference to al-ihsanu fi ibadati Allah. Yani al-ihsanu fi ibadati al-khaliqi subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have perfection and to do good in the worship of Allah azza wa jal. So the first one, ihsanun fi mu'amalati al-khalq. And the second one, ihsanun fi ibadati al-khaliq subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first term, it means ihsan, and to do good in the dealings with the people. And the second means to do good and to do excellence with regards to performing the worship of the creator of the people, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people of knowledge, they mention here with regards yani to this ihsan يعني referring here now to the ihsan and the worship of the creator. And in reality, at ihsan, this martaba, in order to truly enter this affair, and in order to truly fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that also requires for one to fulfill the rights of his creation that he has given them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, he could not perfect the worship of Allah azza wa jal while he is oppressing or doing wrong, or doing injustices to his creation. But rather, from fulfilling the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla and perfecting the worship of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, likewise, is to fulfill the rights of His creation and to fulfill the rights of the people that He has given them, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So in this understanding, this is very beneficial to realize that in dealing with the people, a believer, he is truly dealing with Allah. He's not dealing with the people. So he does not treat them how they treat him. Rather, he treats them in a manner that is pleasing to Allah. And he deals with them according to that which Allah has legislated and allowed and is pleased with. So he's dealing with Allah even when he deals with the people. Meaning he's dealing with them, but he's hoping for the reward from Allah and the pleasure of Allah. And he is afraid in his dealings with the people to earn the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, his goal is the pleasure of Allah. And this is the first step, to be upon the path of al-ihsan, to make the actions entirety and sincerity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to remember Him, and to remember Him, and to remember His promise, and to remember His threat, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned about yani al-ihsan fi ibadati al-khaliq subhanahu wa ta'ala, having ihsan in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is nihayatu al-ikhlas. Nihayatu al-ikhlas, the peak or the epitome of sincerity. The highest level of sincerity. And this means that a person, he will perform the action of worship in the most complete manner. In the most complete manner, inwardly and outwardly. That he will perform the action of worship. While he's performing that action of worship, he will perform it in the most complete and perfect manner. In the most excellent and beautiful way. Inwardly and outwardly. So that means inwardly, while he's performing the action of worship, his heart is alive and his mind is present and he's aware and he's not heedless. Some people, they will be in salat, but their hearts are in the dunya, maybe in another country or in another city, wal-iyadhu billah. His body is in the masjid, but his mind is somewhere else. This is not ihsan. Rather, this is isa'ah. And this is not good. But rather, at ihsan, the first level, any of that, a person, he will master the worship that he's performing at that moment inwardly. Meaning that his heart is present, and his mind is present, and his heart is alive, and he's pondering over what he's doing and what he's saying. If he's reciting the Quran, he's pondering over the meaning of that, and he's trying to benefit and reflect. If he is prostrating and he's saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and then he realizes the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he's magnifying Allah with his tongue and with his heart, and he's humbling himself before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and he is in a state of humility and servitude and submission. Yani, inwardly, in his heart. Inwardly in his heart, this is what this means. That he will be alive, his heart will be alive, his mind will be present, he'll be aware of what he's doing. If he's giving charity, he's not just giving it freely, rather he's giving it at that moment, his heart is attached to Allah. His money is going from one hand to another, from one person to another, but his heart is not with that person. His heart is not with the people, his heart is with Allah. And he's thinking about Allah, and he's hoping for the reward and the promise of Allah. And those who spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah loves them and he's pleased with them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will give him more in this life and the hereafter. So therefore his heart is hoping in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala at the time of performing the charity. So this is the first issue here. Nihayatul ikhlas. Yani the peak, the epitome and the peak of sincerity, meaning at the moment that he's performing the action of worship, no matter what it may be, his heart is attached to Allah, alive and aware and remembering and pondering with hope and with love. With hope and with love and fear, not with heedlessness, not with negligence, not with forgetfulness, not with a heart full of the dunya and the remembrance of the dunya, not during the action of worship. That's isa'ah. That's not good. But rather, to have ihsan is to remember Allah. To remember Allah and the promise of Allah and the meaning of Allah and to hope in Him. And to fear Him and to love Him. And to remember His blessings, subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time of performing the action. That's inwardly. As for outwardly, a believer, he must strive to also outwardly perfect his action. And that is to comply to the legal laws and the legislative way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, In this manner, a believer, he can begin traversing in the realm and on the path of Al-Ihsan, mastering and perfecting his worship. Mastering and perfecting his worship. And that it's at the peak of sincerity. Meaning that while he's performing the worship, he's not hoping for anything except for Allah. لَا يَجُوَنَّا عَبْدٌ إِلَّا رَبَّهُ. As it has been narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu, that the slave, he does not hope for anything except for from his Lord. Except for from his Lord. So the heart is hoping in Allah Azza wa Jalla at the time of performing that. Loving Allah Azza wa Jalla and remembering the blessings and the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, وَلَا يَخَفَنَّ إِلَّا ذَنْبَ. And he is not afraid of anything except for his sins. So a believer also, while he's performing the worship, if he remembers anything from the dunya, he will remember his own deficiency. And he will remember his own weaknesses and his own sins. And how the blessings of Allah are descending upon him constantly and consecutively, day in and day out, but rather breath after breath, and his shortcomings are continuously going up, and his sins are going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return. So therefore he will be humble, and therefore he will be submissive, and therefore he will hope for mercy, and he will fear punishment, and he will worship Allah like this. And this will cause him to master his prayer, and to master his charity, and to master the action that he's performing, that he will do it inwardly and outwardly. The one who remembers like this and he worships like this at the peak of ikhlas, then his action will be considered that it's done with al-ihsan, that it's done with perfection and in the best manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned and clarified how that could be done. And this has come in this noble narration. And he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he was asked about al-ihsan, and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarahu, fa lam takun tarahu fa innahu yaraka, that you worship Allah as if you see him. And if you're not able to reach that level, then know that he sees you. Then know that he sees you. To worship Allah as if you see him. Not meaning with the eyes. No, Allah, he cannot be seen in this life with the eyes, but rather seeing him with the heart. And this means knowing him subhanahu wa ta'ala by his greatness and his lordship, and his authority and his command and his dominion subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he has the rule and the command, and everything happens according to his will and with his permission, and everything belongs to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's alive and never dies, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Knowing detailed information about his rububiyyah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the signs of Allah azza wa jalla in his Quran, and the signs of Allah azza wa jalla in his legislation, and the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the signs of Allah azza wa jalla in his creation, being very, very well informed of these affairs and pondering over this issue, and likewise having great knowledge of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is that he is aware of everything, and he sees everything, and he hears everything subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you wherever you may be, with his knowledge, and he realizing this, and also knowing that he's not in his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is above his throne in a manner befitting his majesty, realizing these affairs as if once is that he now he worships Allah azza wa jalla as if he's in front of him, while he knows with certainty that Allah is above his throne in a manner befitting his majesty. If a person can't reach this level, at least he knows with certainty at that time that he's worshiping Allah azza wa jalla, that Allah sees him. That Allah sees him. The one who remembers like this, he will master the worship. He will not think about the dunya. He will not think about the people. He will not hope for the people to see him or to praise him or to grant him status or rank with his worship. And he will not also perform it heedlessly or moving quickly or deficiently or with deficiency. Rather, he will strive to master it. The one who thinks like this and realizes this, and his heart is present in this manner, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal based upon this knowledge of the lordship of Allah, knowledge of al-rububiyyah, and knowledge of the asma' wa sifat, yani al-tawheed al-ilmi, he has this type of tawheed in his heart, it's full, and his heart is full of the love of Allah, and the knowledge of the attributes of Allah, and the beautiful names, and the perfect attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the authority and command of Allah. Now he will submit and surrender. This is called al-ihsan. The people of knowledge, they mention about al-ihsan, and they say that this issue here is also called al-muraqabah. Al-muraqabah. Yani the issue of al-ihsan fil ibadah. Al-ihsan fil ibadah, yeah? Al-muraqabah. And they say rather, bal huwa dawam al-muraqabah. Al-ihsan is the issue of muraqabah. Al-muraqabah, rather they say it is continuous and consecutive, non-stopping, always. Muraqabah. Muraqabah. And this word is very beneficial likewise for a believer to understand. And linguistically, al-muraqabah means surveillance. And in the terms that we use today, muraqabah, it would mean surveillance or observance. and the likes, like this, an examination. And like whenever the people are taking tests, they will have teachers come walking through the aisles to make sure nobody's cheating. This person is called Muraqib, the one who is observing and who's overseeing and making sure everybody does everything proper. This is what this term means. Likewise, those who have surveillance cameras and the likes like this is called Muraqabah. This is called Muraqabah, that there's surveillance, that there's something, there's observance, and the affair is being watched and observed and maintained, and people are aware of what's going on in this vicinity. This is called Muraqabah, any linguistically. But here we're not talking about the creation. We're talking about Muraqabah, any like this. And it, meaning that this at this time, not making muraqabah of the creation and watching the people and what they're doing, but a person's heart, he has muraqabah. In his heart, he has muraqabah. Yuraqibu rabbahu annahu raqib. Yuraqibu rabbahu annahu raqibun alayhi. That he is a well aware in his heart, and his heart is observing and witnessing and has certain sound, solid, sincere, true knowledge that Allah is watching him, that Allah can see him, that Allah can hear him, that Allah knows him. The situation he's in, he knows without a doubt in his heart at that time that Allah sees him, that Allah is watching him, that Allah is aware of him. This is called muraqabah. Muraqabatul abdi rabbahu. That the slave, he will be aware that Allah is watching him. This is al-muraqabah, al-ihsan. The one who has this muraqabah right now, and he is aware that Allah is watching him and observing him. Yattali'u alayhi rabbuhu. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's aware of this and he is certain about this. Allah hears what he's saying, sees what he's doing, well aware of what is going inside of his heart. Well aware of what is going on inside of his heart. How will that slave worship at that time? How will that slave, whenever he realizes this and remembers this based upon the sound knowledge, based upon certain knowledge, and based upon strong remembrance and the presence of heart at this time with this manner, how would he perform the worship? Would he be heedless? Would he peck the ground in ruku'? Would he move the sujood and go up and down? He will master that. He will master that. The one who remembers that Allah is watching him and observing him and listening to him, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he is pleased with certain actions and he rejects and turns away and he does not accept other actions, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he is powerful and strong and mighty and wise, and he's kind and merciful. He remembers all these affairs at this time. Then he will perfect the worship and he will master the worship and he will perform it inwardly and outwardly in the best manner. So therefore, al-ihsan is from and itamam al-ihsan and itamam al-maraqabah. The completion of ihsan and the perfection of the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal is from the perfection and the completion of this muraqabah and this observance of the heart and the mind and this certain knowledge and awareness that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he is watching, that he is watching you. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he is watching you and he's aware of you. That Allah Azza wa Jal, he accepts certain deeds from some people and he rejects others. And he rejects others. Not every action is accepted. Rather, many actions, they're rejected. وَلِيَعْدُ بِاللَّهِ. So a believer, he'll be afraid that his deeds will be rejected. So therefore, he will strive to master the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this comes about by knowing him, and knowing his names and attributes, and knowing his lordship Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and complying to that knowledge, and working upon that knowledge, and bringing that knowledge to mind, especially at the times of performing actions of worship. Especially at times of performing actions of worship. From the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, that one will remember, that would help him upon this affair, is that he is Ar-Raqib, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. That verily Allah, he is always an observer over you, and he is a watcher over you at all times. And Allah, he says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا. And verily Allah, he is an ever all watcher over everything. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala raqibun alayna. Allah Azza wa Jal, he is well aware of us and he is overseeing us and watching us and observing us, and he knows what we are doing and he knows what we are saying, and nothing is hidden from him whatsoever, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So a believer, he has to remember this. And whenever he remembers this, what happens to his heart? What comes into the heart of a sincere, true believer whenever he remembers this affair? Fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Khashatullah Azza wa Jal. Al-khashatu tadkhulu qalbahu. With ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم. At this time, the heart will tremble. He will fear Allah. He will fear Allah if he remembers Allah in this manner. and the great attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He's powerful and strong, and that He's mighty and that He's wise, and likewise that He's severe in punishment, and that He takes retribution from those who disobey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also that He's forgiving and merciful, and that He's kind to the believers, and He loves those who repent to Him, then a believer at this time, he will witness these affairs and remember them, and his heart will become full of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this will cause him to be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will bring about, this khashya will bring about in his heart al-haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this manner likewise, it will bring about in his heart magnification and glorification and veneration and honor for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the completion of that, and from the completion of that ta'zim and that ijlal that is in the heart, and that haya, likewise the shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then from the completion of honoring and loving Allah Azza wa Jal, is that one will honor His commandments. Is that one will honor and venerate and have respect for His commandments. And likewise honor and venerate and have respect for His prohibitions. And he will comply to them. He will comply to them because in his heart he has fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the heart he remembers Allah. He knows Allah. يَعْرِفُ رَبَّهُ. He knows Him by His signs and His creation and His signs and His legislation. And therefore the fear will enter his heart and he will comply. And he will honor Allah. And from the completeness of that, please pay attention, is to honor His prohibitions by leaving them and avoiding them and staying away from them entirely. And honoring His commandments by complying to them and abiding by way of them and performing them daily. At this manner, in this manner, a believer, he can travel up to the ranks, Allahu Akbar, and be from al-Muhsineen, and by observing Allah, and remembering Him, and honoring His legislation, and honoring the Sunnah of His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with application. In this manner, he can have much good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he can be from al-Muhsineen, those who are truly sincere and truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, until they reach this high status and high rank, until they have perfected the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we see, my noble brothers and sisters, that the issue of al-ihsan, it comes very very importantly in two affairs. It comes very important, very important. The issue of al-ihsan, the reality of that, is coming in two affairs. And that is at the time of performing the actions of worship, at the time of performing the obligations, at the time of performing the recommended affairs. So this is the issue about ihsan. When does it come? When should a believer, he should strive to have this affair and to master this and to perfect his worship? And at the time of performing worship, at the time of performing actions of obedience, whether they're obligatory or whether they're recommended, any of the actions of ta'ah, any of the actions that are considered qurbah, or a means of seeking nearness to Allah, ibadah, whatever it is, if it's an action that a believer, he hopes to draw near to Allah by way of that, at this time is the time for ihsan. At this time is the time for al-ihsan. And likewise, the second time is at the time of leaving off the prohibitions and staying away from that which is muharram. Leaving off the prohibitions and staying away from that which is impermissible and that which has been forbidden. Likewise, at that time, it's required from a believer to have ihsan and to master that and to leave it for the sake of Allah, out of the fear of Allah, not the people, not the blame of the people, but rather out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the issue here. At ihsan, yani yukunu fi maqamain. It's going to happen and occur in two places. The first one is whenever a believer, he's performing the obligations, or whenever a believer, he's performing the recommended affairs. Yani in any act of obedience that a believer, he's striving to perform, at that time he should strive to master that. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ الْإِحْسَانِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He wrote perfection in every affair, especially in His worship subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with regards to performing the obligations and performing the recommended affairs, or to drawing near to Allah Azza wa Jal with actions of obedience, at this time a believer, he must bring his heart with him. He doesn't bring his body alone, rather he brings his heart with him. Rather he brings his heart and to presence, and he's alive and he's aware of what he's doing. And he's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meeting of Allah azza wa jal. And he's hoping for the reward of Allah. And the reason why he's performing that action is for the sake of Allah. And at this time he will master that. So the one who does this at the time of prayer, or the one who does this at the time of charity, or the one who does this whenever he's performing any act of worship, like seeking knowledge or teaching, or whenever he's researching and searching for affairs in the deen, and the likes like this, or whenever he's giving a khutbah, or whenever he's attending the Jumu'ah and he's listening to the khatib, all of these affairs are actions of worship. He will remember Allah Azza wa Jalla at that time. He will have muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will remember that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching him, observing him. Imagine now a person who realizes these affairs and he goes to Jumu'ah. Sometimes you find people in the Jumu'ah, wa'iyadu billah, and they're playing around. Some of them are on phone, WhatsApping. A'udhu billah, yata WhatsApp, ahna salat al-Jumu'ah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, he's using WhatsApp, or even other ones, they turn into cameramen. And they start making cameras and pictures and the likes like this, zooming in and zooming out. During the salat, during the khutbah, the imam is teaching them about the Quran and the sunnah, and reminding them of the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah. And this man, he can't do anything except zoom in and zoom out. Where is the muraqabah? Is this called ihsan? What is this called? Al-isa'a. Al-isa'a, he did bad. He did not do good. He did not, but now by learning this knowledge, or by reviewing this knowledge and remembering this knowledge, and then by the application of this knowledge, how will a believer come to the Jumu'ah? He will take a shower because it's the sunnah of the Prophet to take a shower. He will cleanse himself and put on his beautiful clothing, hoping for the reward of Allah, following the sunnah of his Prophet. Even before he gets there, he's in preparation. He will put on the beautiful perfume, adorning himself for the sake of Allah, beautifying himself inwardly and outwardly for the sake of Allah. And he will go with humility and humbleness, and he will sit as close as he can. And he will sit diligently, and he will be aware, and he will try to benefit. And he came in order to benefit and fulfill the right of Allah. This is an obligation. Jumu'ah. Allahu Akbar, he will not be taking pictures. He will not be picking at his sock or his shoe. He's going to be aware. Why? Because he knows that Allah can see him and Allah can hear him. And that some people, their Jumu'ah is accepted, and others, their Jumu'ah is rejected. Wa'iyadu billah. Wa'iyadu billah. So this is the application of muraqabah. At the time of performing the obligation, he will bring it to his heart and to his mind, and he will know with certainty that Allah is watching him, that Allah sees him, that Allah knows what he's doing. If he moves his hand, Allah knows that. If he speaks or tells someone to be silent, Allah knows that. If he looks around, Allah knows that. Even if he thinks about something from the dunya while his eyes are focused on the khatib, Allah knows that. So therefore, he will remember that. And he will perfect the worship, and he will fear Allah. And he will hope for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, he can master the worship, and he can have much good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will see the reward of those who make ihsan. Yani, the reward from Allah azza wa jalla, al-shakur, al-muhsin subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bi-idhnillahi, we will see these affairs. So this is with regards to performing the obligation. But likewise, also, at the time of leaving off the prohibition, there must be ihsan. There must be muraqabah. There must be muraqabah. He must leave off the prohibition based upon faith, based upon iman, knowing that this right here is a prohibition and it's not permissible and it's not allowed, and Allah can see him and Allah can hear him. He will check his tongue and he will guard his tongue, and he will want to say something about somebody he doesn't like, but then he will check himself, remembering Allah and remembering that Allah can see him, and that Allah raqibun alayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering the other pillars likewise will help him, that there are angels writing and that there are books that are recorded, and that he will be resurrected and scales will be established and they will be weighed. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, the person who remembers these usul in this manner, what will he do? Yuhsinul ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will master the worship of Allah. He will perfect it. He will do it in the best manner that he can do it, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. He will attach his heart to Allah with hope and love and fear and trust and reliance and servitude and submission, and he will make his body parts comply to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam outwardly. And he will perfect the worship. So likewise, at the time of leaving the prohibition, he knows and he remembers that this is impermissible, and that Allah can see him, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden this, that Allah becomes angry subhanahu wa ta'ala at those who perpetrate his prohibitions subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, he will leave that. He will leave that. And he will leave that out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believer, he should remember this. A believer, he should remember this. And it has come from the narration of Wuhayb ibn al-Ward, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the Tabi'in. He died in the year 153. He said, "Ittaqillaha an yakuna ahwana anadhirina ilayka." That you should fear Allah, that he will be the most insignificant of those who are looking at you. And you fear Allah, that Allah is insignificant in your heart. Meaning some people, that whenever they're around other individuals, they will never commit crimes. They will never look at these images on the internet and the likes whenever the people are around them. But whenever the eyes of the people are watching them, and whenever the people can see them, they will act right and they will be good. But whenever they're alone and no one sees them except for Allah, it's like they don't even care. It's like they don't even care. Oh, it's only Allah who sees me? As long as the people don't see, وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُكُونَ اللَّهِ أَهْوَنَ النَّاظِرِينَ إِلَيْكَ. That you should fear Allah, that Allah, He is the most insignificant in your heart, that you care if the people watch you, but you don't care if Allah sees you. That you don't care. لا, don't be like that. Yani, we should not be like that. So therefore, a believer, he has to remember that Allah can see him and leave off the prohibitions. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah can see? أَيَحْسَبُ أَلَّمْ يَرَهُ أَحَدٍ. Does he think that nobody sees him at all? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, did we not make for him two eyes? Did we not make for him a tongue and two lips? And does somebody think that nobody can see him? Think that Allah, nobody sees him now, he's all alone. But Allah sees him, the one who gave him the eyes that he sees with can see him. The one who gave him the tongue and the lips that he speaks with can hear him. A believer, he must remember these affairs. A believer, he must remember these affairs. يُرَاقِبُ رَبَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي نَهِيهِ. يُرَاقِبُ رَبَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي نَهِيهِ. That he will observe Allah and be aware of Allah, that Allah is watching him and aware of him, and he sees him and hears him, and he knows his situation and circumstance with regards to those prohibitions. With regards to those prohibitions. With regards to those prohibitions. With regards to the affair of ihsan, yani, in performing the obligations and leaving off the prohibitions. This is the discussion now. And it will make it easy to understand. We could imagine in the affairs of the dunya. Imagine a man who is working and he is taking care of some business and he's working at a job, he's getting paid. He has an occupation. For example, he's a cleaner. How would he clean whenever his boss is over him watching? How would he clean and how would he take care of his job and fulfill the obligations of his work while his boss is over his shoulder watching him? He would take care of that in the best manner. He would take care of that in the best manner. But if he does not have anybody observing him, if he is not truthful in his job, he's not honest and trustworthy, maybe he will take advantage of that. Maybe he will take advantage of that. And maybe he will not clean so well when nobody is watching him. Or maybe he will take breaks or do his job deficiently or not fulfill the rights of his obligations. Maybe he'll do some of them and leave off other ones because nobody is watching him. Because nobody is watching him. But the issue here is that with regards to performing the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah, He is the creator of the creation, the provider and the sustainer. And laysa kamithlihi shay wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. And there's nothing like Him whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can see us at all times, and He can hear us at all times, whether we're alone or with the people. Rather, the Salaf, they used to say, إِحْرِسَنْ تَكُونَ خَلَوَاتُكَ أَصْلَحَ مِنْ جَرِيَاتِكَ. That you should strive to make the times whenever you're alone more righteous and upright even than whenever you're with the people, whenever you're seen. Because those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal and they act like they're upright whenever the people see them, but whenever they're alone, they perpetrate and they blatantly disobey the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal as if it's nothing, then this is a great sign of hypocrisy and weakness of faith. This is a great sign of hypocrisy and weakness of faith, and a great weakness in the understanding of those names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that he hears and sees at all times. He just as he hears and sees when one is with the people, he hears and sees the same way, subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever one is alone. Whenever one is alone, Allah, He blamed these people. يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَعَهُمْ. That they are afraid or they hide their crimes. And they hide their sins from the people, but they don't hide them from Allah. And Allah is with them. And Allah is with them. Allah is with them. Yani, this is something to be aware of. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's with us. وهو معهم. That Allah azza wa jal, He's with us. Yani, meaning by way of His knowledge. وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير. That Allah is with you wherever you may be. And Allah is, He sees everything that you do. Meaning He's with you by way of His knowledge. So this is that knowledge that is from the most beneficial affairs that would aid a person to have muraqabah. That would aid a person to have muraqabah, and that is the knowledge of the ma'iyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ma'iyyah of Allah azza wa jal. meaning that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is with His creation by way of His knowledge, and that He sees them in every circumstance and state that they are in, and that He hears them everything that they say. When تَجَهَرْ بِقَوْلِي فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّ وَأَخْفَى. And even if you make your statement outwardly, audibly, then verily He knows that which is hidden, that which is secret, even more hidden. Nothing is hidden from Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Nothing is hidden from Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So He can see, He is with you. He is with you by His knowledge. Of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ar-Rahman, عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. He's above His throne in a manner befitting His majesty, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But as for His knowledge, He's with you, and He can see you, and He can hear you, and He's aware of what you're doing. Even what is inside of your heart, He's aware of that, my noble brothers and sisters. He's aware of what goes on in the hearts of His slaves. He's aware of what they're saying and what they're doing whenever they're alone or whenever they're in congregation, whether it's one, two, or three, in a najwa. And this affair is established in the Quran. So therefore, to realize the ma'iyya of Allah Azza wa Jalla al-amma, the ma'iyya is two types, as well known. Ma'iyya amma wa ma'iyya khasa. And the one who realizes the ma'iyya amma, which is the general all-encompassing knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, encompassing His whole creation, the good of them and the bad of them, that He knows all that they're doing and everything that they are upon, and that which they are saying, and that which they are involved in, all of their circumstances, Allah, He knows that. This is called the ma'iyya al-amma. And the one who realizes this, and the one who remembers this, and recollects and ponders over this, and reflects, and then he acts according to that. Now he starts to have muraqabah. He observes that in his speech. He observes that, and he watches that with regards to his action, and his eyes, and his hands, and his ears. He's aware that Allah is with him by His knowledge, and that Allah sees him, and that Allah hears him. At this time, he will perfect the worship of Allah. And what is the recompense of that? And what is the reward from that? He will have the ma'iyya of Allah al-khasa. He will have the specific ma'iyya of Allah, meaning that Allah will be with him by His aid and His help. And Allah will grant him success to say and do that which is good, and to look at that which is khayr, and to listen to that which is upright, and to perform actions that are good, and Allah will protect him from evil. And if he ever slipped, Allah will give him success to repent. And Allah will be with him, aiding him and supporting him. So the ma'iyya is two types, general and specific. The general is with all creation by way of His knowledge. Allah is with the creation by way of His knowledge, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And as for the believers who comply to that, and they act according to that, and they discipline themselves, and their speech and in their action, then Allah will be with them likewise, specifically by aiding them and supporting them and helping them and giving them success in the deen and in the dunya, and protecting them from all types of evil and harm. And this is the great reward. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He mentions, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, is the reward for perfection and mastering any good, except anything except for good. Meaning the one who perfects the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla by observing Him and knowing that Allah can see him and hear him, and knowing that Allah will take him to account, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has obligations that must be performed properly according to that which is pleasing to Him. And that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has prohibitions likewise that must be avoided entirely and left entirely and stayed away from. The one who acts according to that, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Muhsin, Ash-Shakur, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, will open up his heart to all types of satisfaction and success, and grant him safety and security and peace and ease, and he will have trust and reliance and faith, and he will have so many good and beautiful affairs in this life before the hereafter. From the sweetness of iman, and the halawat al iman, and the sweetness of obedience, that no one can reach except for the one who knows Allah. That cannot be reached except by traveling up the avenues of the deen with tawheed and sincere repentance and devotion and trust and reliance and remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the power and authority of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah, He mentioned likewise about this affair, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. That verily Allah, He is with those who fear Him in obedience, and with those who are muhsinun, those who do good. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That verily Allah is with the muhsinin. And Allah, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily Allah, He loves those who do good, those who perfect and master their worship. So the way to do this is to remember the ma'iyya of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to remember the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to remember the power and the strength and the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He is alive and He never dies. He's alive and He never dies, and He's the first and there's nothing before Him, and He's the last and there's nothing after Him, and He's powerful and strong, and He doesn't get hungry or tired, and He feeds and He's not fed. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. سبحانه وتعالى يطعم ولا يطعم. سبحانه وتعالى that he feeds and he's not fed. And لا يسألكم رزقا. He doesn't ask for provision. سبحانه وتعالى هو الرزاق وذو القوة المتين. He is the one who is the provider. He is the one who is the provider. He is the one who is powerful and strong. So it is us. We are in need of him. And we are the ones who are need to worship him. He does not need our worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to worship him. So this is the affair to remember him. To remember his power and his authority and to remember his names and attributes. And from the best of that is to remember that he is aware of you and that he knows what you're doing. And he's with you by way of his knowledge. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's with you by way of his knowledge. He knows what you're doing. He hears you and he sees you. In this manner, the believer remembers like this, he will master the worship. And he will perfect the worship. And a believer, he should not despair. He should not despair. He should not look at himself and then be like, oh, I will never be able to make it to this level. I will never be able. And this, no doubt, is a high rank. And we ask Allah to make us love those people and to make us from those who love the righteous. And we ask Him from His favor to make us from the righteous by His mercy and His grace. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a believer, he should not think that he could never reach that level. But rather, he should hope and strive for that. But rather, he should hope and strive for that. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah wa la ta'jazan, that you should be diligent about that which is most beneficial for you in your deen and in your dunya. And the best of that is to worship Allah with ihsan and to perfect the ibadah that you were created for. And in order to do that, you have to seek the help of Allah and to not be helpless. And to not be helpless. And then there's another promise, my noble brothers and sisters, my noble listeners, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has promised in His book, that whoever makes effort to do this, that He will guide them. That whoever makes effort and strives in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning in His obedience, striving in His obedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Azza wa Jal will guide them surely without a doubt. Allah, He says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That whoever strives in our cause, meaning striving in our obedience, then verily we will guide them. And verily Allah, He is with the good doers. And verily Allah, He is with the good doers. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا الْمُجَاهِدُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الْمُجَاهِدْ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. المجاهد من جاهد نفسه في طاعة الله. That the true mujahid, the true fighter in the path of Allah, he is the one who fights his own soul in the obedience of Allah. In the obedience of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified this. This is the true mujahid. This is the true jihad. Striving against the soul in the obedience of Allah. And Allah, He promised those who do that, that He will guide them. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. يعني the emphasis that is made here, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And verily Allah is truly, without a doubt, with those who do good. With those who do good. So this is the affair of al-ihsan. And the foundation of that is al-muraqabah. Al-muraqabah, to observe Allah and to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that begins by knowing Him. By knowing Him by His Lordship and by His actions. And by knowing Him by His signs and His book subhanahu wa ta'ala and His legislation. And by knowing Him by His signs and His creation. And knowing Him by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection subhanahu wa ta'ala. By having a tawheed al-ilmi, a believer, he can truly strive upon a tawheed al-amali and perfecting the worship of Allah azza wa jalla by remembering Him. And by remembering His greatness and His glory and His majesty and His power subhanahu wa ta'ala. In closing, we mention here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the pillar of al-ihsan is one. We've seen that the pillars of al-islam are five and the pillars of al-iman are six. And as for ruknu al-ihsan, ruknun wahidun, it's one pillar. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's two levels. That is two levels. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تُكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يُرَاكَ. That you worship Allah as if you see Him. This level here, the people of knowledge, they mention, they call it دَرَجَةُ الْمُشَاهَدَ. دَرَجَةُ الْمُشَاهَدَ. The level of مُشَاهَدَ. As if one is witnessing Allah. Not with his eyes, but with his heart. And this comes by having that firm knowledge. The firm knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His tawheed. And the firm knowledge of Allah and His rububiyyah and His lordship. And that firm and strong, sound, solid knowledge of Allah azza wa jalla and His names and His attributes. his names and his attributes and tell a person he will worship Allah as if he is seeing him, knowing him in this manner, by his beautiful names and attributes, also having certainty at the same time that Allah is above his throne in a manner befitting his majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is not able to reach that stage, then he will go to the next stage, darajatu al-muraqabah. Al-muraqabah. And this is what is what we have discussed. And by way of muraqabah, any of this issue here, he can reach the next level, the highest level of muraqabah, as if he has mushahada, and as if he is witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if he is witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way to that is from the first stage. So in general, the issue about ihsan is al-muraqabah, and to observe Allah Azza wa Jal, and to be aware that Allah Azza wa Jal sees a person and is aware of a person and hears a person and knows what a person is doing in a situation. And the one who remembers this, then he will perfect that worship, and he will strive to perform that worship inwardly and outwardly in the best manner and in the best way. In the best manner and in the best way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the issue of al-ihsan, and the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is with you, and he with you by his knowledge, and he's aware of you and witnessing you, and specifically with regards to ibadah, and that's the issue of ihsan, to perfect that ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in Surah Yunus, and he says, وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ. That neither you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, neither you do any deed, nor recite any portion of the Qur'an, nor you, O mankind, do any deed, whether it's good or evil, but we are witness thereof while you are doing it. But we are witness thereof while you are doing it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's mentioning to his prophet specifically that Allah, he is aware and witnessing him whenever he's reciting the Quran, whenever he's performing that action of worship or any other deed. And likewise, you, O mankind, Allah, he is also with you, meaning he's aware of you, witnessing you by what, and he's with you by way of his knowledge whenever you're doing any action that you're performing it. So if that is the case, then a believer, he will strive to perfect that, and he will strive to do that in the best manner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That neither you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do any deed nor recite any portion of the Quran, nor you, mankind, do any deed, good or evil, but we are witness thereof when you are doing it. And nothing is hidden from your Lord so much as the weight of a small ant on the earth or in the heaven. Not what is less than that, and not what is greater than that, but it is written in a clear record. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarified the great benefit after this, the next verse. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Verily, no doubt, the awliya, the allies, those who are beloved to Allah, the true believers of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who believe in the oneness of Allah and fear Him much by abstaining from all kinds of sins and evil deeds and that which He has forbidden, and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much and perform all kinds of good deeds which He has ordained, no fear shall come upon them nor shall they grieve. La khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun. Walahum yahzanun. And if a person were to ask now, who are they in reality? Those awliya of Allah, Allah He mentioned and clarified in the next verse. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those who believed and in the oneness of Allah and the tawheed of Allah and His rububiyyah and His uluhiyyah and His right to be worshipped alone subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beautiful names and attributes, asma'i wa sifat, they believe in that. And they used to fear Allah. They used to fear Allah. Wa kanu yattaqoon. By performing the obligations, they fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they perform them in the best manner as legislated according to the sunnah and with sincerity, and they avoid and leave off and abstain from all of the actions of disobedience and that which is forbidden out of fear of Allah. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They're the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with them in this life, and He will aid them, and He will support them, and He will help them, and He will grant them victory over their desires and their whims in this life, and He will grant them victory over shaitan, and He will grant them victory over their enemy. And whenever death comes to them, it will come to them in a good state. And everything after that is good for them by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is with regards to al-ihsan and perfecting the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and all of those who have participated and all of those who have listened, and to make this seminar a benefit for us and that which was studied and reviewed in these classes by all of the participants, and likewise for those who have listened and benefited, to make that knowledge a proof for us and not a proof against us. And we ask him by his grace and his mercy to make us from those whom are obedient to him, and to comply to him, and submit to him, and surrender to him truthfully and with sincerity, and to make us from the true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who love Allah and love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than they love their own souls. We ask him for this by his grace and his mercy, to make us from those who love Allah azza wa jal and love his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than they love their own souls, and more than they love their husbands and wives and their children and their family and all of mankind, and to make us from those by his mercy and his grace, from those who are upright and from the muhsineen. And after this, likewise, we thank the brothers who have cooperated, and those who have established this seminar, from the brothers at Sabil Rashad, and they are our companions, alhamdulillah, and our friends, and we love them for the sake of Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them good in this life and the hereafter, and to make them a benefit for the ummah, and to grant them success in their statement and action and deed, and to benefit them and to benefit by way of them. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.